Jen Shaw.
And I'm Kate O'Reilly.
And you're listening to
XOXO
JK, a show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff, all the stuff that happened this week. We got some stuff to talk about, like bikes, kind of the history of bikes and our own personal histories with bikes. And
yeah, because you got a bike.
That's I totally bought a bike. It showed up on Friday.
Nice.
You have some exciting news.
I do. I'm going to start at Sulcana this week.
Wow. That's my gym. That's our gym.
It's our gym jam.
Yep. Our gym jam. And you're going to be decked out in like all sorts of Sulcana gear here before the end of the week.
I can't wait.
We just said that at the exact same time.
Well, I am excited.
And then this one I'm really excited to talk about too, because I went to lunch on a patio on Friday and I didn't wear any sunscreen.
Ouch.
And so I didn't, you can maybe see on my shoulders, I got a little sun.
Yeah.
Which reminded me, like, that's a thing you have to do. Like, I forget about that, you know?
So the incidental stuff is actually the worst.
Yeah.
And then let's do tweets of the week.
Tweets of the week.
It sounds good. So tell me about your bike.
Oh my God. Okay. So I used to be a bike rider. Like, I mean, obviously, like, growing up and stuff. But then even into my adult life, I had a bike that I would ride to work and stuff. I used to do that until
college?
Yeah, after college. Like, I thought I was, like, an urban biker. I was like, and this was kind of, I mean, like, early 2000s. Like, it was sort of, like, before the bike boom.
Right.
You know, in Minneapolis. And,
yeah.
Like, I was, like, on my, like, cool bike, like, hopping curbs, doing that whole thing. Like, that's what I would do. And that, yeah.
You're so cool.
I think so that I cool. thought I was hopping cooler curbs. Than I really was. But I was like, what? No problem. I can do this. And then one time on the corner of 18th and Johnson, not too far from where we're sitting right now.
Ouch.
I hopped a curb to get onto the sidewalk. And I didn't move my steering wheel quick enough, or my steering wheel, my handlebars, quick enough, and I actually hit a pole, like the bus stop pole. I hit it head on, and I flipped over my handlebars.
Oh my God!
Into the middle of the street, and I was like,
when that happens, you actually don't even know how it happened.
Yeah, and like that's a pretty busy intersection, and my bike
was very busy.
Yeah, my bike was pretty jacked up, and then I just kind of got freaked out by bikes, and so I actually sold it on Craigslist not that long after.
Wow. So you just were done.
Well,
you just needed a break.
Yes. And then I haven't had a bike since, so it's probably been about 12 years. So I really wanted to get one, and I've been thinking about it for a long time, and a lot of my friends at Sulcana, who you'll all get to know, are bikers, and it looks like so much fun, and I wanted to be part of the party.
You want to be part of the biker party?
Yeah. And so I was doing some research online and, you know, looking at Craigslist and figured out like what size bike I need. And I ended up getting like a pretty inexpensive like single speed bike.
Great.
That is now sitting in my living room. I need to take it to the bike shop to get it put together.
Because
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So it's really pretty. It's gray or silver and teal. It's really
There's pretty. Something about doing that yourself too, or just so you do you know how to do? I know there's a great grease rag.
Yeah.
At Recovery Bike Shop.
Yeah.
That they meet once or twice a month. That's just like self-identified women learning how to work on bikes.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great program.
Yeah.
To just learn how to do maintenance. It's not, I mean, some of it I'm sure gets a little bit further in, but the first hour is programmed. And then the second hour of the night is just open shop. So then you have access to their tools and then a leader. So if you are kind of stuck or just like know that you should lube your chain.
Oh, that's what she said, girl. Lube that chain. Okay. Lube it. I'm going to use that later on.
You should. I knew I wasn't going to get by with that.
When I'm by myself, probably.
Awesome. So yeah, you should check that out if you...
Do you go to that? Do you have a bike?
I haven't. I do have a bike.
Let's do that.
I grew up in the bike cycling. So my dad is like the grandfather of Minneapolis cycling. He's literally...
I know, and I last saw him and he was wearing his cute bike shorts.
So everybody calls him Baba. Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's and so cute. Everyone knows him. So I meet someone that's on a bike or related to bike somehow or work somewhere or whatever. I'm like, oh, you probably know my dad. And they're like, who's your dad? I'm like, Bill O'Reilly. And they're like, I'm like, Baba. And they're like, oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I worked at Island Cycle Supply in college, which is a local, before Quality was like the biggest local distributor of bike parts and bikes in the Twin Cities. It was right by Cuzzy's.
Oh, yeah.
On Washington. And now it's like a self-storage. But they had like a family-owned business that was there for 100 years.
Wow.
And it was really fun to work there. And I learned a ton because you're right there. Like everyone's working in the same room. The mechanics and the, you know, salespeople. And I was like a clerk. Like I did like light bookkeeping.
Right.
And then we rode bikes. I mean, I got around. Like I would drive, starting in like second grade, I would ride 10, like a city mile, like a mile to my best friend's house every single day. Or she would ride to our house and then we'd ride bikes around Crystal and Golden Valley and New Hope. And we'd ride to the Crystal Pool and the New Hope Pool. And nobody had a bike lock.
Yeah, that's the thing. I remember like... My very first bike was a strawberry shortcake two-wheeler with training wheels. That's how I learned to ride a bike.
Mine was a banana seat bike with a American flag banana seat.
I always wanted the banana seat bike. Then when I was in second grade,
it was comfy as heck.
I got my Powder Puff Racer. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was...
I had one of those.
It was a white frame with pink tires.
Yep.
And on like the... What is it? Like the crotch bar. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. It's a top tube.
Yeah, right. It said Powder Puff Racer. And
In the puffy letters.
Yep. And I was like, bring it, everybody. And then I think I had a 10 speed. Like I didn't ever get one. My dad had one and then I inherited it. And that's what I rode around like as a kid. And
I love those bike inheritances like that. Those sort of like, well, there's a bike I can ride and the accessibility.
Right.
Once you know how to ride a bike.
But when we moved out of Milwaukee, like I remember I would ride my bike. It was 8 miles from my school, from my house to my school.
Wow.
And like in the summer, I would ride my bike there for like sports practice and stuff. And yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Remember, you're just like, you had soccer at 4. So
get there.
Right. Like get your stuff together and go. And then you just like run to the, you know, park water fountain for a drink.
Yep.
We're so much more like on top of our kids right now.
Yeah.
Like I drive my kids everywhere. I need to get back on that now that we live closer to their.
Same with my dog. I drive him everywhere.
I was just thinking about your post about
how
to get your dog around.
I honestly Googled today how to take a dog on a bike because I was like, this is what I envision. Like,
I have a great basket.
Okay.
That would work.
And I was like, I envision like having like a box on the back that he just like sits in.
Oh,
and he's like, let's do this. Like he's strapped in, you know, so he can't really jump out.
Maybe like one of those sidecars, like on a motorcycle.
Yeah, or a baby Bjorn.
Get him like one of those, like Amelia Earhart.
Yep. Goggles.
Masks, goggles. Oh my gosh, that would be adorable.
I feel like we can do it. I mean, he's pretty chill. He likes to be with me all the time. So I feel
he's a perfect basket dog.
But so, I have like the handlebars on this bike I got are actually kind of BMX like.
Oh.
So, okay. Like they're a little, they've got like the bar and then, you know, like it's a critical bicycle. Like that's the brand or whatever. So like it's the BMX handlebar. So I wonder if I can fit a basket on there. Or not.
Interesting. I'm not sure. You might have to do like a pannier or something.
It's going to be cool.
They probably have invented it. How far bikes
that
have come?
That post I put up on Facebook, all the people that responded, they're like, here's an example. I was like, whoa, I'm not the only one.
I know. I always have to back off from your post because I remember that you're a comedian. So I go to literally, I always take your statuses in a literal context and I go to solve your problems.
I love you.
And then I back the fuck off. And there's our explicit rating for this ep. And I back off and I'm like, Jen is a professional comedian. And I need to check.
I love you.
My problem solving type A skills. And seriously, so now that I know you, I don't do that anymore. That's and so I've also become more aware of doing it other places.
I love it.
Because of you.
I love it. I love it.
I have a great, you should look at the basket. Mine has, my basket has like a narrower top and then it sort of rounds out at the bottom.
Oh, perfect.
So it'd be great for a dog butt.
That is perfect. And he has a tiny little dog butt because it's only, if he's only 12 pounds total, his dog butt is probably 3 pounds. You know, it's like cut it into quarters.
Totally. Yeah, I have a a specialized bike that is it was originally a mountain bike, but I converted the tires so they're, you know, more like city riding.
Oh yeah.
And it's a nice light bike. It's a great get around bike.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. You gotta have a light bike for the city. That was one thing that my old bike was pretty heavy and so it's tough to get going.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the one with the basket on it is a little bit heavier. Mm-hmm. It's like forest green. It's gorgeous.
I want to see.
And it has like fender and light wood
Perfect.
Details. It's an Origin 8 bike.
I love it.
And it's really pretty. And then it has a like light basket and a little thing in the back, like a little over the fender stand for pack and stuff. Or
yes,
pack.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's cute. It's a really cute one. But that one is really heavy. So you got to have like a garage. You can't like take it upstairs.
This one I got, I think it's 26 pounds. So it's like pretty awesome because I just am like lifting it with one hand being like,
well, I bet now too.
Yeah. I was like, let's do some presses, baby. Let's do it.
Well, I'm excited for you.
Well, I'm excited for you. Now.
We've been riding around the new neighborhood, getting the boys oriented with how, like where to turn and where the parks are that they know already. So that's been really fun. And Coleman got a new bike and it felt a lot bigger than his old bike. So he was hesitant, but he got on it yesterday and just went.
Awesome. So we'll was fun to watch.
It was really sweet. Yeah. He just like got it out and it wasn't me. He's that kid. He wants to like think of it himself, do it himself.
That's awesome.
So he was, and he had really good control over it too. Good. He was taking like a tight turn to get back onto the sidewalk. We have a dumpster in our driveway right now. So he was taking like a turn around that to get to the sidewalk to keep doing loops. It was good. But I want them to like be so empowered on bikes. And that's really the thing that a bike does is allows you to get somewhere without putting gas in something faster.
Right.
So, well, we should mention that there is a local podcast called Pedal Hub that our friend Patrick Stevenson does. He's Patio Mensch on Twitter. That they kind of like our podcast, talk about everything, like the economics of cycling, the emotional relationship, you know, you build with people you cycle with, being able to just get yourself somewhere and be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
It's a great show. So I want to make sure to mention that today if you're interested in picking up that, especially because we know you're a podcast listener. Nice. Well, we should tool around the neighborhood someday.
Yeah, let's do it. Once I can get my bike put together, I'm so in. And I got to get me a helmet. I got to get me a bike lock. Got to get me all the stuff.
Behind bars or where are you going to go? There's a number of good bike shops in town.
I'm so scared. It's like so nervous and nerve-wracking and scary because you're like, hi, this is a thing I'm new to and it's scary.
Go to recovery.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I actually called them on Friday. So I was like, yo, I have this bike. Can I bring it in? Will you put it together? And they were like, yeah, probably. It might take us up to a week, though. I was like, that's cool.
Well, that means they're probably busy. Mm-hmm. So get it in sooner than later.
I think I can fit it in my back seat right now because it's not put to, like it's still.
Oh, well, let me know. I can hop over with my station wagon.
What?
Yeah.
Neighbors, bring some sugar.
Bring a cup of sugar. Well, that's, and so, do you have any nerves about getting back in the saddle?
A little bit because, like, you know, I was thinking about this on the roads and stuff. I know the driving roads. I don't know the biking roads because I know those are different.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember riding with our friend Katie in the car and I was like, how should I get to whatever bar we were going? She's like, well, I just know the biking way. So, I mean, we could go those roads because, you know, typically a little less traveled or a little less car heavy.
Well, you typically go the same, lots of the same places. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, figure those out.
Right.
But I've seen people say, hey, cyclists on Twitter, which way do you take to get this? Like, how mm-hmm. do you manage this little area?
Okay.
Because then, and the people are more than happy to say, I have this hack or I did this. And now they have the bicycle boulevards built in a lot of places. I know that they mark them really well in Northeast. Yeah. But, and I found too, like just figuring out like the most friendly ways to go with crosswalks and, you know, just making sure that, I mean, I like to bike down residential streets and then if when I have to hop on the busier streets, because there's a climate right now that there's so many cyclists in Minneapolis right now. Like we've been the top bike city for years in a row. And we kind of go back and forth with Portland. They say that, you know, there's a thing in Minneapolis now that says Portland is just a street in Minneapolis.
Ah! Like, kind of poking them. I need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, sort of poking them for, you know, we have this rivalry going on.
Did somebody make that on a t-shirt yet?
I think they probably did. I think it was...
That's so true.
Minneapolis Bike Love, yeah. But I think that there are a lot of resources out there and like the 30 Days of Biking crew. Yeah. Totally. And Streetsmen and other, you know, like kind of livability resources.
I'm going to check it out.
You should. That's exciting.
It is exciting.
And that sort of stuff expands your brain in such a great way.
Yeah. And I work so close to home now. I think I could bike to work and do that. It's like seriously, it's like 8 minutes by car, not on the highway.
Yeah. So double, triple, approximately that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Nice.
You have an exciting week coming up. You're going to come to my gym.
I'm going to go to Sulcana.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I went to a class a few weeks ago. They had a group class for a trial.
Yeah.
And I didn't think in any way, shape, or form that I wouldn't like it, right? But I didn't think I would love it as much as I did.
My heart is growing.
Aw. It was... So I have been a member of a couple gyms and I'm still a member of a gym in St. Anthony that I really like. And it gives me access to a steam room, a bunch of yoga classes, a sauna, great resources.
And in the winter, man.
Oof. They have childcare and it's probably like 6 blocks from here. And it's really, really affordable, like $60 a month. And then my insurance pays for 20 of that. So I am going to keep my membership there because that the like different steam room and stuff has been really great. Plus they have kids activities for kids in the community and childcare. So, but I went to Sulcana and I couldn't believe how much like just having someone else there to say like one more, six more.
Yep.
Because I'll stop. Like if I am not good with you know, like I am not good with, if something hurts, I stop. Like this is, we're humans. And so, and it's not like, you know, excruciating pain, but it's like that hard pain, you know, where you're like, can I actually do one more? You're nervous. Yep. And so like I did like 40 squats up and down, like full squats. And I could not believe, like when I was on like 26, 27, 28, that I was still doing them. And we were all paired up. So we all had a buddy. And I'm super flexible and also pretty strong. So then when we went to do the deadlifts, I was good at that. And it was like, it was unlike an experience I'd had before because I was good at some of the stuff. And I am the most unathletic person on the planet. I'm just not, you know, great.
That's the thing I love. Like, I know people get annoyed with people talking about CrossFit or whatever. And like the philosophies at each CrossFit gym are different.
People that get annoyed are going to get annoyed at whatever.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, CrossFit as a whole, I think people don't. People have a misconception of what that is. And you know, when you compare a CrossFit gym to another CrossFit gym, they can be really, really different because the philosophies that are carried on within the walls of it can be different. The only thing that's really the same is the name. And, you know, ours is our gym, Sulcana CrossFit, which is over in Seward neighborhood right off Minnehaha on 22nd. We focus a lot on strength and it's also a woman owned gym. Hannah Whiteoven is the head coach owner. And I think that her being in that role brings a lot of everything that you just experienced. Like, that it's because of that, because she has created this amazing community of people, and it's people of all different body types and all different, you know, gender orientations and all different backgrounds and all different ethnicities. Like, it's not the stereotypical, like, bro down, like, muscle.
Well, place. Like that. When I thought of CrossFit before, I just thought of, like, ripped hands, yeah. like bloody hands.
Yeah.
And not that that's not going to happen.
Six pack abs.
And like, and just pushing yourself and yeah. being in pain and being, like, good.
Crying.
Yeah, but it's not like that at all. It was really like,
it's so supportive,
open, and yes. And yes. just like positive.
Yes.
The sort of like, you can do it. And then like being the last person to complete the circuit, you know, like everyone just like, yep. literally surrounded me, my body, and like lifted me up yep. to those last like five pull ups.
Yep.
And it was like, typically I think I would have been humiliated in a yes. situation like that, but that was completely absent.
So and that's so interesting that you say that, because like I wrote a couple of blog posts about that exact thing where I was like, okay, people, just like shut up for a second, because I'm last.
Right.
And I'm already like super aware of it.
So, but you, like, really needed them.
Stop cheering for me, because I don't want any attention brought to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now, but because at that time I didn't realize like that was a real genuine thing that they were doing. Like, there was no
feeling sorry for you.
No, it was all and now being on the flip side of that and being one who, you know, cheers for other people, it's like, I know that place that that's coming from, and it is for real. Mm-hmm. And even like a post I wrote a few weeks ago where we had a particularly trying Metcon, which is metabolic conditioning, that's sort of the cardio piece of the workout. Like, I hate rowing, and we had to row a ton, and I was just going, and I remember I like looked up at one of our coaches, Morgan. And she was making eye contact with me, and she just mouthed, she goes, I'm so proud of you. Like, she just mouthed that to me that I mm-hmm. saw, and it just made me like drive that much harder, you know, just, and like that, and that's totally true. Like what you just said, it's like, it gives you that extra push to keep going. Cause I think for me too, just like you said, you know, at a big box type gym or whatever, I still have an LA Fitness membership. I just have it on hold. Because I think someday maybe I'll just want to go to something. I don't know. And then I can unhold it. I would like go on a treadmill in the back of the room and like, you know.
Not push yourself.
Yeah, do my 45 minutes at 3.4 walking pace.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, I just worked out. But I never saw any results from that. And that's okay.
Yeah. Like, no, I just love the idea that it's like these, you go to classes. You're not.
Yeah. And you're with other people. We laugh a ton.
Yeah. And that's not like you're, you know, the next, say on the day, I had a good little routine going where I was lifting weights at my gym, but it's like the day I needed it to change.
Yeah.
My girl wasn't there.
Yes.
Right. So then I'm kind of stuck and I'm feeling sort of bored, and I know I need to bump up, but I don't know what else to do. And so I love the idea of like showing up and having, you know, everybody right. at every skill level. Some people have been there a while. Some people are just starting. Some people are halfway through.
Yep.
There's people of all sizes and shapes. Yep. And in like, in some of them, it's like you'd think in a regular gym, I mean, someone that's heavier like me wouldn't necessarily excel. But it's like, it's weird to see mm-hmm. that some of the, you know what I mean? Like, people that are smaller than me wouldn't be able to do as much right. as I could.
Right.
So, and I'm not a competitive person at all. I right. don't have a competitive gene in my body right. or bone in my body.
But to yourself, though, to show you that you have the strength, like that's philosophy is about. So great. It's like the power to change, the strength to do it. It's like, that's perfect. That's mm-hmm. exactly what it is. It's, and that's the thing too, like just discovering your self-worth and that you're capable, like your confidence increases, and it has nothing to do with what is happening to your body on the outside. It has to do with the fact that in your mind, you're like, I can do this. And
I did that.
And I did that. And like, I remember going, kind of flipping that thing from, you want me to do what? I'm not doing that. To like, okay, I'll try it. And like that one is a huge, yep,
did that to
that's
me.
A huge thing. Like the rope climb, still can't do it, but I'm going to try every time, even though it takes me back to like fourth grade and the presidential like fitness test. I still could never climb the damn rope, but like
never,
like those, that types of thing. It's like, oh, I'll try it. I'll, because I'm confident in my skills and my abilities. And like, I know that sometimes you can surprise yourself and actually be able to do something. And that's what I learned from there. And then yeah, everything else is bonus.
You can apply that so many places.
Yeah, like, you totally
can. I can do that.
Yep. Like, so the confidence level has nothing to do with what you look like on the outside. It has to do with how your brain changes and makes you know that you're capable. Like, you're like, oh my God, I just did like Olympic weightlifting. Like a skill that people compete in the Olympics. I just did the move. Like, yeah, I mean,
I know what the Olympics are.
It's cool. And yeah, I'm so pumped for you to have
a big deal,
this kind of experience. Because I want everyone to know what that's like.
Yeah, thanks.
I just think it's so great.
Well, I could definitely see the results. I mean, you have changed in more ways than just your physical appearance, which has also changed dramatically. But I see it in you and every single way.
Oh, that's,
I mean,
so
there
nice.
Isn't a day that goes by that I'm like, she learned that in the last year.
I love you.
It's a big deal.
I love you.
And I notice stuff like that because it deserves noticing.
Well, it has a lot to do with the people that make up the crew, you know, and like, I feel real fortunate and I'm so excited that you get to be part of that too.
I'm excited too. It's good.
That's so great. I love you so much, everyone.
Oh, Jen Shaw. Yeah, it'll be good. I think it feels like the right time too.
Good.
You know, it feels like the right time to like, I want to be stronger. I want to be able to do more things with the boys. Yep. I want to be able to like have that endurance.
Totally.
So
perfect.
Speaking of that, yesterday I was outside all day and I noticed my freckles be popping.
Girl.
And I'm really diligent about sunscreen. And I wasn't as a child because we didn't really know, or my parents weren't.
The 80s?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. So I was in, like, my ages matched up with my grades. So in second grade, it was 82.
Okay.
In third grade, I was 83. So on. I know you can like math that out.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I started getting burnt. We got it. We put a pool in the summer between first and second grade. And we lived in the pool all the time. And there was no sunscreen around at all. None. So I had tons of burns. I'm super fair. I have like all the risk factors.
Yeah.
I have light eyes, fair skin. What was the third one? Light eyes, fair skin.
Dark hair.
No, I think it's... Anyway, I can't remember the third one. Oh, for cancer, the three things are light eyes, fair skin, deep burns.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had multiple burns. So, and then shortly after Coleman was born, I went in for my regular annual check, and they found a cancerous tumor on my arm. Yeah, so they found skin cancer, so I had to get it removed. I got it removed like 6 days later. So now so Coleman will be 9 this summer. So it was 8 years ago, May 2nd.
Oh my gosh!
And they took a chicken breast size piece out of my arm.
Are you serious?
Yep. And so, like, right now, you know, if you get a burn today, it takes like 20 years for it to turn into cancer. So it's not like, if I got a burn today, it's just more like about inconvenience now. Like, I'm going to live past 60.
Yeah.
But I hope.
Holy shit.
But it's like, you know, burns as a child, like, you should definitely be getting regular checks to make sure. So the risk factors you want to look for are, if you notice a mole and you're like, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
So any sort of like changes like that, like look at your bum when you're in the
bathroom.
Isn't
it like asymmetrical too? Or?
And then if you could draw it a pen through the middle, would it be the same on both sides? And then like any sort of like scaling or flaking, that kind of thing is something to look for as well. So it's not just one thing. Like, you can look up anything online and say signs of skin cancer, but those are the kind of three main things to look for. But especially if you've had any burns and they are around 20 years ago, that's the time to start really checking.
Interesting that you say that.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, I spent a little bit of time in Mexico and like on a exchange. And the last day I was there, I was in Puerto Vallarta and I was like laid out at the pool all goddamn day. Like,
oh,
I
Mexico is like, a different kind of sun too to us.
And I mean, literally I was in like my bathing suit the entire day. Cause I was like, I'm doing this. It's my last day. And the next day, like I flew back to Wisconsin and my mom picked me up and my face had already started to burn. I mean, it was like I actually had to get steroid burn cream for my face because it was that bad.
Holy shit.
I was like home from school for a good week.
Wow.
It was like on my forehead, on my cheeks, my nose. I mean, it was like cracking off and like, you know.
Yeah. And a burn. It was a real burn.
I had to go to that doctor and get prescription. Yeah, burn cream for it. And
the
so,
hard thing is like when if that hadn't been on my arm, like think about taking a chicken breast sized piece out of my face.
Well, not I'm 37, so I mean it was about 20 years ago that happened, and I had a facial. We talked about in the last episode. I had a facial about a month ago, and you know they look at your skin or whatever, and she's like, "Okay, I can see some sun damage and whatever." And I remember the doctor saying, "You cannot burn again. You cannot burn on your face again." Like if you do it, cause it was so bad. He's like, if you do, like there's going to be some serious,
right? Like you lost a protective layer.
Yeah. Like you
I'm so glad that long ago he said that.
Yeah.
I mean, not
so girl, it was the '90s. I mean, and
you
so
were in college, high school, Okay.
And so, you know, I think like makeup today does carry a lot of SPF in it, which is amazing.
My face
never burns.
Mm-hmm.
Because
even just a barrier, like if you do wear makeup.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have sunscreen in my moisturizer and stuff like that, but I don't necessarily, use straight up sunscreen on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly cause I always wear makeup and stuff. So, you know, it's just, but like at the lake or a pool or whatever, I will always do that.
Right.
It's been a long time since I've got a sunburn that was like legit.
Yeah, that's good. Now I just do it because I hate the way they feel so much.
Yeah.
Like I end up not sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, because it's
like so hot.
You're so hot and it's so uncomfortable. Yes. And then you always end up wanting to wear like a dress.
Oh my God. And
like
the tan
line.
Special
occasion dress. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I look like a
idiot.
I don't know. It's just like, you
tacky.
Know,
it's like a hickey.
40-year-old women do not have like tan lines. From
oh my God, and then
wearing
like
tank
when
tops,
people
like
look
college
like so
girls
leathery
do.
And blah, 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 blah.
Oh yeah,
I don't want to look leathery
so, like,
ever
parched.
Yeah,
like you just want to rub a little moisturizer
oil, put some coconut oil on that.
Yeah, so I am a diligent sunscreener, and I have been out a lot this week. And the thing about the biggest myth about sunscreen is that if you wear it, you won't get any color. No, that's not true. I mean, you wear it and you get color. You just don't get burned.
Mm-hmm.
The rays that you block that are, you know, radical don't get to your skin. So I still get color. Like you mm-hmm. can look at my arms now and see that I've been outside this week a lot.
Yep.
And I, you know, I get a little bit of color every day. And I'm sort of like, I have the redhead. Like I'm a redhead, right? Like I've got fair skin, light eyes, lots of freckles. And they've always been there. It wasn't like a, you know, that wasn't from the sun exposure. Like I've always been freckly, but I kind of like developed that, you know, sunscreen, tan, which is like, it happens like really, really slowly.
Oh my God. My legs are so white right now.
I know
like
mine
not
too.
Even...
The top of my body is maybe
four
shades
yes.
darker than the,
I actually thought of that this morning when I stepped outside in the backyard with the dog and I was wearing shorts and I was like, woo,
that's what hits first.
Put on your sunglasses, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So and then
got
the
some legs
where
out
you
here.
Don't put sunscreen like down where below, like where your shirt usually hits, like
the
when the sun like
area.
Hits. Yeah. I'm
the V neck.
You can't see me, but I'm gesturing to my
V.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland.
So I have two. I want to make
funny. Okay.
Cleveland.
I'm gonna have to use that because I say swimsuit area, but Cleveland, Ohio, and the swimsuit area. I feel like those two partnered really nicely.
Yeah, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, and sort of gesture to your
Cleveland.
So Neutrogena Clear Face Breakout Free Liquid Lotion Sunscreen. We'll link to it in the show notes. Is amazing. So the ingredient you want to look for right now is called Helioplex. And that is the best ingredient on the market now for sun protection.
I didn't know that.
But if you saw me today versus 3 weeks ago, you can see that I have like a nice little summer glow going on already because I've been in the garden. But every single day I'm covered.
I just wear bronzer.
You don't.
I do.
Oh, like a little bronzer on your
face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love a bronzer. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you're going to a show or something, it just like,
or just like coming over to a podcast.
Or coming over for a podcast. I saw you putting lipstick on in the car.
I did because I had it on and mm-hmm. then I looked in the mirror and I was like, that's uneven.
And I was it's like, a pretty color.
You got to fix that.
So I like this Neutrogena Clear Face. It stays where you put it. So I have a lot of eye sensitivity. So I have to like make sure that my like forehead isn't like sweaty when mm-hmm. I put it on. So I just make sure I have a towel mm-hmm. or something. But it mostly stays where you put it. It's not super thick and I am incredibly prone to breakouts and I don't break out at all from
That's
it.
That's awesome.
And then the spray, the body one I use because I hate having sunscreen on my hands. So I use their Ultra Sheer Body Mist. This one is seriously SPF 100, but you don't need anything bigger than a 50. It's all the same.
Yeah.
But this is a broad spectrum with the Helioplex too. So this is, has a really nice scent. It's, and it doesn't like, it's not greasy. Mm-hmm. You get like That's a really nice little like J-Lo glow.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got.
The thing that you have to be sure of with the sprays, though, is that you kind of have to have a little bit of a heavy hand. It's sort of like spray painting something. Yeah. You can't just go like, shh, shh, shh.
Right.
Like you have to like
cover that.
One, shit. Two, three. But you can get them like at Walgreens or Target in a pack, like buy one, get one. And
they go fast.
They do go fast. But I think it's worth it to not have thick sunscreen on your hands. So maybe if you have like a bike ride, you do that and wash your hands. You mm-hmm. put like the thick cream on. Yep. But this is like, I have this in my purse. So when I go to lunch on a patio.
You're spraying down.
I go to the bathroom in wherever I am. Like at when I worked at down in Northeast in the Banks building, I would go to the bathroom, spray it on my back and shoulders so I wouldn't get a sunburn
nice.
On.
Nice.
But that's the thing. You always end up in the sun on a patio, which mm-hmm. you want to do. But that midday sun, so from like 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Right.
It's the highest.
I don't put sunscreen on my kids after 4 p.m. if we go to the pool. I don't even bother. Right. I mean, the sun's behind the trees.
Right.
Mostly. And it doesn't have, you know, the effects at all.
I like the smell of sunscreen. There's something, you know, like Pavlovian about it. Like you attach good memories to it. And like every time I pull out my swimsuit from like the winter, you know, the summer before out of the drawer, it always still smells like sunscreen.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that.
So do I. It's a scent memory thing. Yeah. It's that olfactory connection.
Yes.
Sort of like when I think of, I get nervous when I see like or smell green extra gum and or.
You get nervous?
Aussie Sprunch Spray because it's what.
Oh my God. Aussie Sprunch Spray!
Because it's what I wore when I was like. In middle school and what I chewed. And so I kind of get like, oh my God, who's going to like me this week? And
that reminds Tahitian Treat. That
am I gonna
soda,
kiss a boy?
That pop, whatever. Like, that reminds me of
Tahitian Treat.
Yeah. I have no idea who even makes it, but it reminds me of summers at the pool because we would like the soda machine had that and you would get a can of it. It's like red sugar water and you would like crack it. You know, not enough. So like that it actually opened because you didn't want the bees to get in.
You smart. Just like, I wasn't as smart.
And then
as
you just like would suck it out of there. Oh yep. Yeah.
I remember dots, smell of like dots and popcorn at the crystal pool. And the dots would be all melty because they'd be warm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yum. So, sunscreen. Pop a can of sunscreen in your bag or your car. Because you never remember until you're at the place and then you come home.
And then you come home
with a sunburn. I have thought about doing pop-up sunscreen booths at events.
That's actually a really good idea.
You know, so just like as a public service, have it sponsored by Neutrogena or something.
Yep.
And you can just spray people down in like a little vacuum booth.
Yep. So
this like stuff goes away. It's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
So... Hey, should we do Tweets of the Week?
Tweets of the Week. You go first.
If you have more sunscreen recommendations, too, let us know on the Facebook page. Because I've done a lot of work to find the best ones because I'm such a crazy girl. But if you have more suggestions, let us know. My tweet of the week is sort of serious.
Oh.
So Kristen, who is a pal of mine, Kristen612 on Twitter, mm-hmm. commented on the Star Tribune article that came out last week. Fathers are under pressure to do more at home and at work.
Whoa, I didn't see this article Something's at all.
Something's gotta give.
You've gotta be joking. Who wrote it?
I don't.
Are you even kidding me right now?
I'm not. Rise and fall of the super dad. Why men can't have it all. I know it's Father's Day, but
yeah,
that's put your hand up.
Put the stop hand emoji.
Stop hand emoji.
Talk to the hand.
So Kristen says after that, she just posted that article and said, funny to frame it like something's got to give now that dads are doing what moms have been doing for years. And then she wrote, this is my tweet of the week. Don't let the glass on the ceiling cut you on the way down.
Hell yes.
It's like, that is the best way to put it.
Oh my God.
Seriously. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to, I scanned the article because I was too mad to read the whole thing.
Who even writes a piece of crap like that?
I don't know. I know, like she said, it was Father's Day week and stuff, but
doesn't matter.
It's total BS.
I mean, here's the thing. Be a parent, whatever that is to you.
Yeah. If you're having trouble, seek out other parents.
Yeah. Some people play traditional roles. Lots of people play non-traditional roles. Like, I don't think anyone has the right to necessarily say which is better or worse.
Yeah.
As long as you're being a parent, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a parent. It's hard for me to have feelings on the topic, but like, I come out of a home where my mom did everything, including like pay all the bills, clean the house, cook all the food, take us everywhere. My mm-hmm. dad just like went to work and came home. That will never happen in my household.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't.
Wow. That's fucked up.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that's a good tweet of the week because it really caused me to pause and scan that piece of shit article.
Woo, girl.
Oh, girl.
Okay, well, mine has just made me laugh, so.
I like when yours makes you laugh.
This one comes from Jana Cyrusson, who is a comedian in Fargo, and she's a friend, too.
Nice.
And it just really resonated with me at the moment I was at, because I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, and she writes, eating a microwave dinner over the sink like God intended. And I was like, oh, girl. I be there. I know you. I got this. I'm here for this. So it just really, spoke to me in my time of crazy week. And
everything. I love that.
I was like, our lives are amazing.
Get it done. You know what you do? If you're hungry enough to eat that, you just get it done.
You get it right done, over girl. The
sink. Well, thanks for joining us today. You're the best.
You're the best.
Aw.
You are. This is Jen, and you can find me online at jenchell.com or on Twitter at jenchell.
This is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate.
And you can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
XOXO.
JK.